You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Monday, May 9th.
The city of Portland will pay $8.5 million to the descendants of Black Portlanders whose neighborhood was destroyed. As Kyra Buckley reports, the money is part of a settlement that also includes transferring land back to the families.
In the late 1950s through the 1970s, the city of Portland used racist practices to drive families from their North Portland homes. 26 descendants sued the city in 2022 in federal court seeking retribution. Recently, the sides agreed to settle, with a proposal going to city council for a settlement of $2 million. In an unusual move, Councilor Loretta Smith proposed a motion to raise the amount to $8.5 million.
Can I get a second?
Seconded.
Sounds good.
All 12 councilors voted to approve the settlement at the amended amount. The agreement also will return two parcels of land to the descendants at no cost. I'm Kyra Buckley reporting.
Last year's strong El Niño appears to have boosted population growth of invasive green crabs in Washington waters. That's despite the state's emergency management efforts for the past 3 years. KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe has the story.
The state stepped up green crab trapping and monitoring in 2022 after an exponential increase in populations both at Lummi Nation in the Salish Sea and in outer coastal locations, including Grays Harbor and Willapa Bay. Emily Grayson is a marine ecologist with Washington Sea Grant's crab team, which has been monitoring and trapping the invasive species for nearly a decade. She says this year is shaping up to be their busiest yet.
This spring, in a lot of places, particularly in the Salish Sea shorelines, we've seen higher catch rates than any other spring previously.
New detections near Port Gamble and the south end of Whidbey Island have her concerned that green crabs could start establishing big populations in Hood Canal and Puget Sound. The public can help by learning to identify green crabs and by sharing sightings data with wildlife managers. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe reporting.
The Yakima Nation is on track to buy an area of land along the White Salmon River. OPB's Eric Newman reports a national conservation nonprofit announced the sale this week.
The 172 acres of land includes forested buffers along the river and areas previously submerged because of the former Condit Dam. The utility PacifiCorp sold the property for $3 million to a nonprofit called the Conservation Fund. That's where Gates Watson works. He says they're planning to transfer the land to the Yakima Nation as soon as next year.
We are an intermediary that helps partners move quickly to secure lands, buy lands, you know, providing them time to go raise money to ultimately be able to own and manage those lands.
The nonprofit says eventual ownership will help the Yakima Nation exercise their treaty fishing rights along the waterway. I'm Eric Newman reporting.
Eugene and Springfield police have purchased license plate readers that use AI to make digital fingerprints of vehicles. Police say they're a tool to gather objective evidence, and they've already helped solve a violent crime. Privacy advocates fear the system, which is linked to a nationwide network, could put Oregon's vulnerable residents at risk. KLCC's Rebecca Hansen-White reports.
I'm standing just ahead of an on-ramp that will take drivers across the Willamette River to the 105 in Eugene. The dozen drivers who just left downtown likely don't know that a camera is making digital fingerprints of their vehicle, capturing make, model, color, unique characteristics like bumper stickers, and of course, their license plates. All that data will go into a searchable, AI-assisted database maintained by Georgia-based company Flock Safety for 30 days. That company now has contracts with Eugene and Springfield police departments, as well as law enforcement agencies across the country. Eugene Police Chief Chris Skinner says Flock is still in the process of installing Eugene's 57 cameras, but the department has already used the system to apprehend suspects in two crimes, a robbery and a double homicide.
We could have flooded our streets with 20, 30, 40 cops looking for this vehicle, but we didn't. What we did is we plugged it into the system and we let the technology do that for us. And so when you think about resource management and how you leverage your resources, I think being a force multiplier is a fair and accurate representation.
According to the company's terms of use policy, local governments own the data they collect and are also in charge of deciding who has access. Skinner says Eugene may look up specific vehicles on behalf of other departments or agencies, but it won't allow direct access.
I'm really confident based on the way our contract is written with them that Flock is not farming out our data that we have here in Eugene somewhere else. If some other jurisdiction felt like they had somebody in Eugene, had a car associated with an individual, they would call us and then we would choose to add that to the hot sheet or the hot list.
Skinner says the cameras were primarily purchased to deal with retail theft, but police could use them for Amber Alerts and violent crime. He says there are no plans to use them for traffic enforcement, and they'll be located on major arterials. Kelly Simon, legal director for ACLU Oregon, says a Flock camera sitting on a commuter road, near a healthcare facility, or a place of worship can capture a lot of private information that people might not want the government to know about them. She says police looking to buy those or any other powerful new technology should ask the public for input first.
We're seeing these things rolled out without community conversation. And that's a real problem because it means that we can't figure out what is that middle road where we get to balance the public safety needs that police are saying they are identifying based on the work that they do and the civil liberties concerns that the community is saying, hey, whoa, slow down. That's going too far.
A recent investigation from 404 Media found Immigration and Customs Enforcement had gained access to Flock data from across the country with the help of local police departments. That outlet also reported a case where a sheriff's department in Texas used Flock's network of cameras to attempt to locate a woman who had an abortion. Simon says Eugene and other police departments in Oregon looking into the technology may unwittingly expose information about marginalized visitors and residents if they join Flock's network. She says even with restrictions on database access, partnerships with previously trusted federal agencies like the FBI could result in Flock data being used to enforce laws contrary to Oregon's values.
At the end of the day, the things that we deeply value and that we're trying to build our future around, things like immigrant justice, trans justice, racial justice, religious freedom, reproductive freedom, freedom of expression, these are things that are fundamentally incompatible with mass surveillance. And that's what Flock is.
Both Eugene and Springfield used Oregon Criminal Justice Commission organized retail theft grants to purchase cameras. A Springfield police spokesperson said the department bought 25 cameras that it will roll out over the next few months. And the department will follow Oregon's Sanctuary Promise Act, which bars law enforcement from helping with immigration enforcement and how it handles its data. Eugene Police's Flock camera system will fully launch in July. I'm Rebecca Hansen-White, reporting.
The Cathlamet Town Council has chosen Crystal Baker over three other applicants to fill the council's number two position. Baker now takes on the remainder of Kermit Chamberlain's term, who resigned in April. Baker moved to the Cathlamet area in 2020 with the intention of retiring there. She says since then, she has wanted to communicate with other people in the community to get more people involved. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Wakayakum County Eagle. Read more online at wahEagle.com.
For weather today in the Lower Columbia River region, sunny with highs in the high 60s. Tonight, partly cloudy with lows around 50. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, increasing clouds with a low around 50. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning News begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.